Welcome to the Christy Jones Show. This is your go-to podcast for living life to the fullest. I am a life and empowerment coach, speaker, and business owner in multifamily real estate. I am a woman passionate about helping others build a life that they truly desire. We'll talk about how to make the most out of every day, from setting meaningful goals to embracing the present moment. So join us as we explore the depths of living a life that is full of joy, purpose, and satisfaction. Well, hey there, welcome back to another episode and another week of the Christy Jones Show, where I love to cover all the things to live your life to the fullest. And my friend, we are going to go deep today in something super important that applies to every single one of us. Sparkling Mind Sanctuary. It is guarding your mind. So I'm going to turn up the heat because I want you to embrace your life to the fullest. And I want to dive into this really great topic because it's critical in our journey to personal growth. And that's guarding your mind. So I got four areas that I'm going to touch on. And the first is I'm going to just start right off the bat. Let's talk about the power of your mind. The power of your mind. So settle in for a second and think about the times in your life where you have really felt that mind-body connection, meaning how your thoughts, whatever's going on in your head, your continual thoughts, the repetitive thought, how that ends up affecting how you feel, possibly how you even feel in your body. Have you ever known of, maybe this is you, maybe you, when I tell you this, maybe you're thinking of a specific person that you're like, ooh, yeah, that is such a good description of so-and-so. So let's say that, have you ever found yourself in this place or known someone where they're just, you know, really their mind, they're letting all the trash in their mind, all the negativity. They're just, it's like they have no gates up on their mind. Like all the things that go on in the world are just, just coming into their brain. They're sucking it all in. And so day after day of, you know, all kinds of news, all kinds of, you know, social scenarios, things that just maybe aren't the most positive. And then think about how that ends up maybe showing up in the body. Fatigue, not feeling well, just feeling really down. Maybe the immune system gets beat down a little bit. So now maybe that person or you have found yourself catching a cold, just becoming more susceptible to the little things that we can get, right? That is an excellent example of the mind-body connection. So what we're feeding to our brain on a repetitive basis, it totally just goes into our body, every cell of our body, it breaks down on a cellular level. And the mind-body connection is a truly powerful thing, which is why it's so important to guard your mind. You know, I've said before, wherever focus goes, the energy flows. I've not only said that, I mean, thousands of people, you've heard them say that and teach that, right? Where your focus goes, energy flows. So where your focus is in your mind, the thoughts that you're feeding yourself, that is where your energy ends up flowing in that direction. Your actions end up backing that up. So here's another way of saying it. I've talked about our thoughts and our feelings and actions. So our thoughts end up creating the results we get in our life. So hear me out on this. If this is the first time you're hearing this, then let me break this down just a little bit. So the thoughts that we have over and over in our brain, right? Just the whatever thought, because we have thousands and thousands and thousands of thoughts a day, right? So think of a thought that you're just continually, repeatedly thinking and kind of, I use the term dwelling. You're like dwelling on it. And so that thought, every thought gives us a certain feeling. So a certain situation might happen and you have a thought about it and it makes you feel really irritated. really angry, it really stirs something up in you. And so that thought has created that feeling. And from that feeling, that is the action or the no action that you will take from that place of feeling. And so the actions we take or don't take, that ends up giving us our results. So do you see the connection there? So you have a circumstance, and then you have a thought about that circumstance. And your thought about it then creates your feeling. Because we're human beings, we have feelings, right? And then from that place of feeling, that kind of directs how you end up acting, what you end up doing, or what you end up not doing. So the mind is such a powerful tool. Now, circumstances are what they are. I've said before that each situation, every circumstance is neutral until you assign a thought and a meaning to it. And a lot of times, that's why we're all different. Like the same exact thing can happen, and you get five people in a room, and every single one of them will have a different thought about it, therefore a different feeling, and therefore act in a different way about that circumstance. And why is that? Well, because we're very complex beings, right? As humans. So everyone comes, so each of those five people have come to that circumstance with a variety of things. Their past experiences, maybe they've encountered that circumstance before, so they kind of maybe already have a made up mind about it, right? So they're automatically saying that this is going to be just like the last time. So when you come to the circumstance, each person has a history that they bring with it. Now, if you have a lot of self-awareness, then you're aware of all of that. And that's where you can step back and see the circumstance from a different perspective. But if you're not in the space of self-awareness and you're just letting these thoughts run your life and you're letting everything just bombard your brain, then it is much harder, one, to guard your mind. Two, since you're lacking, if there is that lack of self-awareness, then it's so tough to like look at the circumstance and maybe have a different perspective on it. So another example is like you take a family, right? And let's say there's mom and dad and let's say five kids. I can't imagine that's a very busy household, but let's say five kids. And those five kids grow up. And maybe they're all like super close in age, right? So they're all kind of coming up in that same little capsule of time, right? And then as adults, all five of them though, even if the exact same situation took place with all five of them are going to have a different perspective on it. So because they're all five unique individuals, they all five have had a little bit, just enough differences in, you know, who they are, their personality, and then also their background, their past experiences. Now, which is why I talk about the importance of self-awareness is on many, many, many levels, but this is a great example of that. So the more self-aware you are, you can kind of step back and be like, huh, you know, there are many ways that there are many thoughts I could have about this particular event, circumstance, whatever it might be. So where your focus goes, that's your energy is going to flow there. And then the mind-body connection, like the body follows the mind, the body follows the mind, the body follows the mind. And this whole connection from, you know, why you have to protect yourself and protect your brain and protect your mind and guard your mind is because you have the circumstance, then you have the thought about it, then that creates how you feel, and then therefore creates the action or no action or action, however you want to word it. And the great thing on the example I just gave is if you don't like the thought that you're assigning to something, challenge yourself to what is another thought I could have about that? Is there another thought that I could create for myself that I'm gonna like that feeling a little more? So you can do that. You have the ability to do that. You can do that on anything at any given time. So understand that when you guard your mind, you are protecting yourself. You're protecting your mind and your body, your overall well-being. So understand the power of your mind. Understand how huge that is, how large that is. Our brains are amazing. Having gone through a traumatic brain injury with my dad in 2011, I had to think what year that was, in the fall of 2011. Having gone through that, I jumped like all in on everything I could learn about the brain, the areas of the brain, traumatic brain injury, of course, but I was his medical advocate. I was basically the point person as we moved through all of his treatment and care and coordinating of all the specialists. And I learned so much about the brain in general. And it really backed up all of this as far as like why we want to guard our mind, how vulnerable our minds can be if we don't protect it, if we don't like kind of put a fortress up and determine what's coming in, because you get to determine that, right? You choose what you watch, you choose what you read. So when I went through all of that with the TBI, I just learned so much about how much the brain is the command and control center, is what I call it, of our entire body. And when something's just a little off and those neurons are just, something's firing a little bit differently, it's just so interesting, all of the trickle down changes that does in our body. So with that in my background, and then also now, talking so much more about the importance of our mind-body connection, and how critical that is. I'm not talking about brain injuries here. I'm just talking about a healthy brain and dealing with the concept of guarding your mind and why you would want to do that. Because the impact of your thoughts and your emotions have so much to do with your physical and mental well-being. Okay, number two, I want to identify what I call mind invaders, okay? So these are things that you want to be aware of as you're like, okay, I get it. I get now that I've really got to guard my mind. There's a lot of benefits to guarding my mind, both for my mental and physical health and my quality of life. And for me, showing up is the best version of me. So you're like, okay, I get it. I understand the power of the mind. I'm there. But what can I do? Like, what are these little mind invaders that I need to look out for? So you need to recognize any negative influences that are in your life and how external factors can really infiltrate your mind. That can be literally anything. So you identify it for you. I'm going to toss out some ideas. It can be the news. I mean, the news isn't exactly like the motivator of the day, right? I mean, it's generally when you turn on the news, some of it, I would say, we could have some factual information from the news, which is great to stay informed of kind of what's going on in the world and in your community. But overall, the news starts off, when you turn that on, it's just doom, gloom, and what's going wrong. But you don't turn on the news and they tell you everything that's going right. I mean, they just don't. They might filter or sprinkle some of that in there, but the majority of it, in my opinion, is just full on loaded with problems, negativity. So if you're in a space in your life where if you're in a fragile place in your life, maybe with your health, you're in a challenging season, whatever that might be for you right now, you really want to even more so, recognize these negative influences and really limit how much you're going to let that, you know, be part of your day or your week. So the news, it could be what you're watching. It could be what you're reading. Watching, reading, doesn't matter. If you're putting it in your brain, your brain is taking all this in. And there's so many studies that back this up, that when you just bombard your brain with tragedy, trauma, negativity, these are not firing off all the wonderful parts of your brain. It's stimulating alertness. It's stimulating your nervous system for sure. More of like in that primitive way of be on the lookout, more safety, security, those things, right? Like our brain from like a million years ago. And it's igniting that fear-based. So if you're not really disciplined at managing your fear-based thinking and keeping that at bay, this is an area that, you know, you really want to be cognizant of what you're letting in. There might even be negative influences. It might even be people. I mean, I hope it's not, right? Hopefully you've kind of weeded through a lot of that already. There's really not a lot of time in life to be wasting really in any negative environment. But as you become more self-aware, you will recognize it so much faster each and every time. And you will be like, okay, this is not this, either what I'm watching, what I'm reading, or this person I'm hanging out with. This is more of a negative influence. So I'm going to make a change. You've got to uncover your own destructive thought patterns. Well, how do I do that? Well, that's where introspection comes in. That's where, as you raise your self-awareness, I coach people in this. So if you know, this is an area of development, right? This is like an inner tool that we practice, and we practice like anything. The more you practice it, the better you get. So the more you practice self-awareness, the more you tune in, the more you get still, you listen, you tap in, then you get better and better and better at that. So it's just like anything else. The more you do it, then it becomes like something you don't have to remind yourself to do. You're just automatically doing it, right? So that's like with anything. It seems like work at first because you have to like think about it, remind yourself, like talk yourself through it. Just like anything else that's not already a habit for you. And then once it becomes a habit, it just, as soon as your mind recognizes, ooh, it'll want to increase, it just like opens up. You're like, you go right into self-awareness mode, right? Another thing that I want to toss out there as a mind invader is going to be the whole comparison trap. I just talked about this, and I can't remember if this was in a group coaching call or if this was on a previous podcast, probably both, because it's something I talk about a lot. But another mind invader is going to be the comparison trap. And in today's world, one of the things that shows up that people bring up as far as when they start the comparison trap for themselves has to do with social media. Comparison's always been around. I mean, social media wasn't around when I was a kid, and it was still easy to fall into that comparison deal, but we weren't sitting there scrolling and looking at things on a monitor. It was more about like when you went to school, when you were in social settings, things like that. So understanding that when you are comparing yourself to something or someone or something, that can have a negative impact on your self-esteem, on your own self-image. And again, it's just, you're not guarding your mind. You need to decide, like, is this something that I need to be looking at because I'm beating myself up over this? Okay, real quick on the comparison trap though, let me just say this. I see this a lot. So you're comparing, let's say it's someone that you kind of know, but don't really know. So you don't really know, because everybody's life has a lot of the same components, okay? We all do a lot of the same crap every day, right? We're human. I mean, we're all getting up, brushing our teeth, taking a shower, going to the bathroom, like picking out what we're going to wear, right? I mean, eating food, figuring out what, you know, maybe you want to cook, maybe you don't, maybe you're like, I don't feel, you know, it's, we all have those same things. And then nobody's life is perfect. Okay. So don't judge someone's like what you're, you know, comparing your day 30 to their year 3 in whatever area that you're like, I want to say a lot of times it's envy, but you're desiring that, right? So you're comparing this to you, but they're not apples and apples. So it's you got to realize, like, you don't know that person's journey, their whole story, how long they've been doing something. You have no idea. So, and you think you know the challenges that they've come across, but you don't always really know, because maybe they haven't shared all of that with you. And so why are they able to navigate something in a way that, like, I want to be able to do that? Well, you may not know all of the valleys that that person has actually been in and climbed out and been back in and climbed back out. So you can't compare yourself and get in that comparison trap. It's just not healthy. Enjoy you for you and for where you're at. That's what you should focus on. Not, I wish I was like so-and-so. I wish I had what so-and-so has. That's even worse, because having stuff doesn't mean anything. So stop the comparison trap. And then another mind invader would be figuring out where your limiting beliefs are. Because when you can identify those, then you can come up with strategies to conquer that particular negative thought. So if you have a certain limiting belief about yourself or the situation, if you can identify it, then it's easier to come up with a strategy to overcome that. Okay. All right. Number 3, we're going to build mental resilience. Got to get mentally tough. I mean, I'll be real honest. I see all kinds of softness all over. And you have to become more resilient in life. And generally, life pulls that out of you. And as you move through life, and sometimes you get really mental resilient. It's not an age thing. It's a process. It's an awareness. It's a willingness. It might happen super early in life. I have also witnessed some people that just really don't get that mental resilience until much, 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 much later in life. And that's okay. Like, you know, everyone has their own timeline. But you have to build mental resilience in order to guard your mind. Mental resilience, mental strength, those are kind of like one and the same for me when I say those words. So embrace positivity. Find techniques to really help you create a positive thought environment. Okay? You have to guard your mind. Things like meditation are a great, great tool. Sometimes people, you know, they're like, oh, I can't do meditation. Like, I'm 2 minutes in and I'm just like, I can't do this. Do 2 minutes then. Nobody said you had to do 30. Okay. So here's the thing on meditation. Meditation is just, in real simple terms, meditation is simply a practice. Here's one way. Let me offer this one way to describe it. I'll offer this description. So meditation is a way to focus your mind for whatever length of time you are willing to do and whatever works for you. There is no time goal when you meditate, okay? And it's about quieting the mind And here's what happens when we try to quiet the mind, then like thought. If you're watching me on YouTube, I'm, you know, putting all these little bubbles up above my head. So thought comes, quiet the mind, another thought comes. Just release the thought. Acknowledge the thought. Don't fight the thought. You fight it, now you've created resistance. When we create resistance, that's what creates suffering. So allow the thought. Thank the thought for showing up. And then just simply, I do a little visualization. And I just, when I'm sitting in meditation, my eyes are closed, I just visualize that thought like in a little bubble, and I just send it up into the air and I let it go. And maybe you spent your whole time in meditation doing that for a while. That is okay. Perfectly okay. So you have to let go of the expectation. If you are new to meditation, you have to let go of this expectation that you have to do it the right way. Okay. So meditation is simply a moment for you. A time frame for you. Ideally, to sit in silence. The easiest thing to do, honestly, is I guide people, just focus on your breath. Just focus on the inhale and the exhale. And you can sit, you can lay down. There is not, I mean, one person said, I can't sit in that, you know, cross-legged deal. You don't have to do that. Like, these are all the things that we're told, like, that's the only way meditation works. Bullcrap. That's not the only way meditation works. Meditation is that there's a lot of ways. There's a lot of ways to sit, to lay, to walk. You can be walking and out in nature and like have a walking meditation. So don't try to put it in a box that it has to look like this and mean this and has to look this way and I have to do this. No, you need to center your mind and maintain your focus. And try focusing on your breath. And another way I describe meditation, for me, it opens up space in my mind, meaning thought comes, let it go. Thought comes, let it go. I'm not in meditation to try to solve anything. I'm in meditation just to be, just to focus on my breath, just to kind of ground in to my body. Just kind of tune in to what's going on inside, to just listen to my breath, to feel my heartbeat, to really ground and center myself. And in those moments where there is such quiet inside, it's like an expansion inside my mind, if that makes sense. And that carries with me through the day. It just creates more space inside for me. That's how I describe it. Now, there's also times I do meditation and I might pray, and that might be a time of prayer. But in general, meditation is a tool for you to really help develop your mental resiliency. It's a practice to help you in your mindfulness. And it can look like a lot of different ways. You can do it sitting, lying, walking. You can do it for whatever works for you. See, meditation will meet you wherever you're at. Like, if whatever works for you right now, you can increase your mindfulness and lean into meditation. There's a bajillion health benefits on it, but I won't go into those right now because I don't have time. But anyways, that is to really build your mental focus. I encourage you to lean into meditation. Last thing, number four, is you have to view your mind as a sanctuary. when you view your mind as a sanctuary, when I say sanctuary, I think of a precious space. I think of a very valuable space. When I hear the word sanctuary, I often think of a very personalized space. When I hear sanctuary, sometimes I also, to me, it takes on a very like spiritual or very religious meaning. And that's a very sacred space. It's a very protected space. And so when you start viewing your mind as a sanctuary, you will get more protective of it. You will start treating it like it's something so precious and valuable to you that you will now determine what comes into your mind. You will be more thoughtful for what comes into your mind because you're viewing it as your own sanctuary. So when you view your mind as a sanctuary, you're basically curating your own mental environment. And you can surround yourself in this sanctuary, surround yourself with positivity, surround yourself with inspiration, surround yourself with things that bring your mind peace and joy. So creating your mind or creating a sanctuary for your mind, when you start viewing it in that way, you're going to start setting boundaries. You're going to start setting boundaries. You can say no to toxic relationships, toxic situations. You may not even just decide you're going to put yourself in that situation again because your mind is your sanctuary and your mind is the driving force of, you know, we go back to mind-body connection. Your mind has such a big impact on how you show up in the world, how you move through the world, how you feel mentally and emotionally. So curate your own mental environment. Curate your own mental environment. Set boundaries as you need to. And the art of letting go is really important. Learning how to let go of situations so that you aren't harboring them and storing them in your mind. If there is something you need to let go, that is, and you're just letting it hang out in your mind, you're not guarding your mind very well. You need to decide, what do you need to release? What past grievances do you need to just let the freak go? Is it helping you to hold on to that anymore? Is it improving anything for you to hold on to that grievance? When you learn the art of letting go and you when you learn the art of letting go, when you learn that art of releasing the stuff that you're just holding on to, you will move through your life in a much more lighter, brighter way. You will have a much more freeing mind with much more space to absorb the good things, to do problem solving, to come up with new ideas, to explore new things in your life. When your mind is bogged down with things that you are hanging on to with a tight grip because, by God, you just don't want to give this up. Maybe you're mad over something. Maybe you're ticked off at somebody. Maybe there's a situation. Maybe it just happened. Maybe it happened 5 years ago. But is it serving you right now to hold on to that? Is it helping you to build the life that you really want? Because you've got that little chip inside that you just, by God, you're not going to forget this. And you don't have to forget it. You need to quit harboring it. Release it. It doesn't mean you deny that it happened. If something happened, if you're holding on to something that maybe with a person 5 years ago, You're not, it doesn't mean that you're negating the fact that it took place, but why hang on to that? Like, it's like a freaking boat anchor. It is slowing you down from your progress. Now, you can think of it in terms of forgiveness. You can think of it in terms of letting go. But for this conversation, I am just asking you to master the art of letting it go. Letting it go. You want to be lighter. You want to be freer. So, and you want to create your mind as a sanctuary. The last thing on, you know, keeping your mind as your own personal sanctuary is gratitude. You've got to foster and develop the whole concept of gratitude in your life for little things, for things that seem larger to you, but for everything. Everything. And if you're complaining, then that's the opposite of gratitude. I told someone that the other day. They're, oh, I am so grateful, but blah, 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 blah. Okay. Well, let's go. Let's back up a little bit, right? Let's back it up a little bit. So focus on the good in your life. Focus on the blessings in your life. Focus on those. Focus on every little small thing that you can have gratitude for in your life. Put that in your mind. That's the kind of stuff you want to store in your mind, in your sanctuary. So I'm going to wrap this episode up. I've given you four things to really ponder when it comes to guarding your mind, to really, you know, setting your mind in the right space. So that you're not just, it's not, you don't want it to be like an open gate. There's another example that I'd love to share. So I've got my hands like this, like it's an open gate. You don't want that on your mind. You want to guard your mind. You decide what you let in, how much you let in of it. Okay, so guard your mind. It is your personal sanctuary. If you guard your mind fiercely, if you nourish it with positivity, and you do that and you watch as your life will transform into an amazing masterpiece. So until next time, my friends, you guys, stay spicy. Someone described me the other day as a spicy life coach, and I am perfectly okay. I love that. I'm like, oh, I might start using that spicy life coach. So stay spicy, my friends. And if you have any questions, you want to talk more about guarding your mind, don't hesitate to reach out to me. I'll put some bullet points in the show notes down below. But otherwise, go make this a fabulous day for yourself. And I will talk to you soon. Yo, 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 yo. I can taste.